Lord, Lord, we just love you, Lord. We love what you're doing in us, Lord, and we thank you for working in all of us, Father. Father, it looks like that we're being under attack, probably out in the outreach. Well, I know we are. I've had people call me, and not only in the outreach, but also here locally, and we come against any kind of a factious spirit. We bind all of its works up and cast it out of this fellowship in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that you're bringing people along and getting rid of the idols in our lives. Lord, we're turning loose of those idols. We're turning loose of the world, and we're getting right with you, Father, in this last little bit of time that we have left. And we praise you, Father, for helping us out here, Lord. And we thank you for it. Lord, we ask that you bless us tonight with wisdom and understanding and discernment. And, Lord, we'll be so, what is the word I'm looking for? Lord, help me out here. But, Father, I just thank you that you're going to do a mighty work tonight. We're going to learn about what the purpose of prayer is. And not only that, people's lives are going to be changed because of our prayers. And also, Lord, I thank you for all the testimonies and the praise reports. And I ask for your anointing upon every one of us tonight, Father, to speak the word boldly. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a kind of a brain freeze there, I guess, for a second. Anyway, we thank you, Lord. All right. Well, it's been a wonderful day here. Beautiful day. Spent most of it inside, but I did get to get out and walk a ways, walk for about two and a half miles, and it was pretty outside. I saw the leaves falling and turning colors, and it's just beautiful out there. Okay, with that, let's see if anybody needs prayer or would like to pray. Is that you, Marlon? You making a cup of coffee? Up oh, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, I guess I wasn't muted.
That's okay. Praise God. All right, anybody need prayer? I want to pray. Come on now. God's willing. Matter of fact, I'm juiced up tonight. And man, I've been reading about God's promises, and I just know we're going to have some mighty miracles tonight if somebody needs some prayer. Now, I will say this. God's on the throne. He ain't come off of it. Whenever we've prayed, that prayer stays up there until it's believed and God moves on it. So, praise God.
I'd like prayer.
Okay, Angelica.
If you can pray, the Lord would just continue to give me continued peace in the midst of all these things and patience and for his continued grace over my son.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you that all of those are already answered. And, Father, we thank you that you've given us the faith to believe that it's answered, and we're going to rest in you, and we'll just know that our prayers are answered because we believe. And we have the faith because you gave us the faith. You're the one that gave us the faith. You gave us the promises. The promises we're looking at here is when you pray and you believe what you pray, you shall have it. And, Father, we know that, and we praise you for it, Lord. We thank you that Angelica is seeing the results of our prayers, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Answered prayer, Father, we thank you for it. Amen. All right, anybody else?
Hello.
Hey, Megan.
I want to be baptized again.
Okay. Can you make it here tomorrow morning about 8? I'm just kidding, Megan. I'm just kidding. You want to get baptized again? How far are you from Houston?
A lot. About hundreds and hundreds of miles.
Oh.
I don't have no transportation.
Okay, so you're north. You're almost due north of Houston, aren't you?
Way north.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how do you want to do it? I mean, is there somewhere around there that you can get baptized?
No.
Okay. Well, I know. Let me see if Albert's on here. He's not on here. He's the closest one to you is Albert. And he's in Corpus, isn't he, Angelica?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's in Corpus, but I know his heart, and he wouldn't mind meeting you somewhere or maybe even coming up there. So maybe you and him could get together. I'll contact him and let him know if you really want this. We'll get it done, sister.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Let me make a note of that. Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you that Megan wants to get baptized again. And Father, we thank you that you're going to see to it that she does. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay. All right, anybody else?
This is Debbie Fenske.
Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I shared last week about prayer for my daughter's boyfriend who had an eye problem. So he saw an eye specialist, and he said there's nothing he can do because if it is the retina torn away, he can't do any surgery here because there's so much scar tissue from this accident he had as a kid. It was a box cutter went into his eye. And when he was about 10 years old. So now he has to go see a retina specialist and find out what's going on with that. Now, I don't know if he's been there yet or not, but I told him we would keep praying, and he thanked me that we're praying. So I think this could be, a really good testimony for him. Is he knows people are praying, and God touches him. So.
Amen. Amen. You know, the great thing about God, he's got a lot of grace and a lot of mercy. And what he says is this. He says in Mark 11 and 24, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you received them and you shall have them. So what if he's a Christian, what he ought to be doing right now, even though he's going to the doctor, I understand that, but just say, Lord, I thank you that I'm healed. I thank you, Father. It says in your word that what things soever you desire when you pray, that we believe that we received. I believe that I have received my healing, Lord. And when I go to the doctor, he's going to see a miracle.
Amen.
Just tell him to keep on thanking God for it every day.
Yeah.
And he'll see a miracle because I just know he will.
Amen. We're believing that way for him. He's not yet a Christian.
Oh.
But Jenny had a really good talk with him. In fact, we had me watching David Eales one night when we were visiting them in Colorado. And he came up and started asking all kinds of questions, and a good conversation took place. And it was really super. So, you know, that God is working. He's very open. But we believe God can still do that. Amen.
All right. Well, praise God. Lord, we just thank you that you're doing a work in him. That you're doing a mighty work in him. Father, and I ask that you show yourself strong in him. And Lord, he sounds like he's interested, sounds like you're working on his heart, Father. And I ask, Lord, that you do a quick work in him. I ask you, Lord, because you know all the terrible things that's going on in the world. Lord, he needs that faith that only you can supply to him, Lord. And I thank you that this boy is going to be a mighty warrior for God. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, how old is he, Debbie?
33.
Oh, he's not a boy. He's a grown man. All right.
No. Yeah. Very nice, young man. Very nice and very open.
Okay. Well, I believe it's done.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I hear Denny back here.
Amen.
Hi, Denny. Amen. All right. Anybody else? You know, sometimes it's hard for us to talk with our family members and have them listen. So what I do, generally speaking, is just pray that the Lord would send somebody to them that they would listen to. Because I know when I talk to them about it, you know, being around them all of my life, that they you know, they tend to throw up a wall. But when you pray that somebody that they will listen to comes around and you believe it and you stand on it, then you're going to see it. You're going to see a miracle happen. So, amen. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I was kind of thinking that. What's the name of that guy that has his eye hurt?
That has what?
The box cutter with the accident with the eye.
Oh, when he was a young boy. His name is John.
Okay.
John Hively.
I was just thinking it would be good if we could just pray that somebody, the Lord would send somebody across his path. Because we're not always, you know, we're miles away. We can pray and we pray in faith. But sometimes having somebody show up on the spot in the area that has the gift of healing and full of faith and can convince them of the way, convince them of, you know, that the Lord is true, and then get them on a path of searching for the Lord and becoming a Christian, that would be even better. We can we can pray for that. Start praying for that now.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. All right, Father, please send John, somebody in his path, so that he can fill him with the Holy Spirit and show him that you are real, and show him the power behind your word. And Lord, give him the gift of healing so you can heal his eye. All these great, wonderful things that we love to see you do, Lord, and we know that you want to do. But I know you like to do it through people. And we love to pray for our saints and get people in the kingdom. But we know also that personal touch is so important. So, Lord, we ask you to send somebody along his path. Send somebody to John as soon as you can. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? I did want to share something tonight to ask you all to fast and pray against factious spirits and divisive spirits amongst the people in the fellowship. Not so much against each other, but, you know, coming at you with thoughts, coming at you with that. We've had people here in the local that are having those type of thoughts. And we're praying and fasting against them to once again thwart their desires to disrupt and divide the body, and just be in prayer about that, be in spiritual warfare about that, and we're going to see a mighty miracle. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, excuse me. Thank you, Lord.
I was going to say, remember the time, Michael, it came on me, that factious spirit? It just comes out of nowhere. You don't even think you're going to be affected, and it does. And it's witchcraft. And it's I guess it's a way that God can humble you at the same time, expose that there are, I mean, it doesn't mean the person himself that's been affected by it is going to stay that way. But it does definitely make you aware that there is a spiritual warfare going on out there, and we all can be affected by those things once in a while. And it doesn't mean necessarily we're going to be taken out, but if we're going to be taken out, it's because there's something in our heart that doesn't belong there, and we're not dealing with it. I mean, it doesn't mean that you got affected, that there's something necessarily wrong with you, but you might have had a past of faction, and that spirit has a tendency to be attracted or go to people that have had that before, or you don't even realize that you're railing on others, and that's where that comes from. So that's the thing to be aware of. If you've had that in your past, that spirit's probably, it's easy to be as a familiar spirit. That's something to be careful of.
And one thing to remember is that the devil doesn't have any power at all unless you give it to him. And you give it to him by fear, by unbelief, doubt, condemnation, unforgiveness, all of those things. You know, y'all know the thing. Y'all listened to David long enough to know what brings on the devil. Because the Lord took the enemy's authority out. He said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions." Well, that's demons there. And over all, it don't say some, it says all, the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. And he gave us this authority. And that's something that's already been accomplished. It ain't something that we have to accomplish. God took the whole armor away from the devil, and he gave us the authority over him. So all we have to do is to keep up our armor on, keep that armor on all the time, and keep our the word before us at all times, you know, and meditate on the word. And I'll tell you what, you're going to have a miraculous and successful spiritual life with the Father. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Well, what about a testimony or a praise report?
Oh, I remember. Remember we prayed a couple weeks ago for my keys to show up? They showed up. Actually, the Lord
had okay, praise
yeah,
God.
It was a, you know, daunting on me because I really didn't want to go through find a whole bunch of set of keys again. And I had a lot of master keys that went around the whole building. And I was a little leery about having those floating around. But yeah, thank you, Lord. Just let you know they did come up. I did get them back.
Amen.
Good.
Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Anybody else? You know what praising God is? You know, when you praise God, you're celebrating the victory over the devil. You just praise him. It's praising God is victory over the devil. It's celebrating the victory. And it's not necessarily, you know, when you sing song. Because, you know, I know as well as y'all do that some of those songs we sing in church don't really praise God. They're not very scriptural. But some of them do. But there's some that celebrate the victory. And so we do that when we praise him. We celebrate the victory over the devil. Praise God. And when you're triumphing is not the victory. Triumphing is celebrating the victory that has already been won. Because Jesus triumphed over the devil, didn't he? He rubbed his nose in what he did at the cross. Because the victory was there at the cross, wasn't it? And what came after the cross was the triumph, praise God. And the Bible says that he always leads us in triumph. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, it says, "But thanks be unto God, who always leadeth us in triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest through us the savor of his knowledge in every place." That means celebrating the victory. That's what triumph means. We're celebrating the victory that Jesus accomplished at the cross. Amen. Okay. All right, come on now. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Well, I'll just give the Lord some praise for helping me to overcome what I believe were some factious spirits. And, you know, just pointing the finger and looking at other ones, at other people's sin and their own, and even my own sin in my life, and just the Lord delivering me and just giving me an abundance of love. for myself, for my son, and just getting me back in the secret place where I have peace that surpasses understanding, and where I can trust in him and just, you know, receive his word with gladness.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Is it windy there?
Yeah, I'm outside in Corpus. My son's he's inside skating a skate land there, so I'm out here.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Awesome. Amen, Lord. We just agree with Angelica, and we praise you, Father, for all the work you're doing. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Well, I'd like to praise the Lord, too. I'd like to just praise you, Father, for the work that's going on in each one of us. I praise you, Father, for showing us these new revelations that we get when we study your word and meditate on those verses that you have us to meditate on, Lord. And you're growing us up and maturing us in you, Lord. And it's just awesome, Father, to see these verses open up and come alive. And we thank you, Father, for helping us to do that. Showing us these things, Lord, and giving us power because of what we're reading and what we're putting into our hearts, Lord. We're meditating on these words, Lord, and we're meditating them in the area of putting them into our spirit so that when we do need them, Lord, they'll come available to us. And we're understanding what these verses mean by meditating on each one of them. And Lord, there's so many avenues that you can go in a lot of these verses that is so real deep, Father, revelations that you have put us into, Lord, and shown us through your word. And we just thank you, Lord, for that. It's just so awesome to study your word. And Father, we just thank you for giving us the wherewithal to just make time to study your word. Lord, we know there's a lot of going on out there in the world. But, Father, we know the most important thing is to put you in our hearts and to get closer to you, Father. And I just thank you, Father, for doing that in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise you, Lord. Ooh, my, my, my. Thank you, Lord. I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Well, all right, what about this? What's the purpose in prayer? What is the purpose of prayer? Can anybody tell me? Or give me some pointers here.
I believe the purpose of prayer is to bring down the perfect will of God.
Bring down the perfect will of God. That's real good.
And to commune with God.
And to commune with God.
With God.
Hang on, let's go slow here now. Barbara says to commune with God is the purpose of prayer.
One of the purposes.
Yeah. With God. Okay. Okay, now let's go back to Angelica here. Bring down the perfect will of God. And how can we do that by prayer? Have you given it a little bit of thought? Maybe we can kind of break that down a little bit.
Well, one of the ways I believe the Lord gives it me with intercession prayer, but one of, you know, if you follow the model prayers, Our Father, is by asking him to put on our hearts what it is that he needs us to pray immediately for, because we're supposed to love our neighbors as we love ourselves and put others before us. So when we do that, I also believe that he puts it on others' hearts to pray for us as well and intercede for us. And so it's, I think it's very powerful that way. At least I've seen it in my own life more effective than when I just kind of pray a myth or just pray whatever I think, you know, needs to happen or something like that.
Okay, that's good. So what you're saying is we should be, if I'm hearing you correctly, one of these steps to the purpose in prayer is to be specific, right? We should be specific in our prayers. We should, when we go to a prayer closet, we should have, we should know what we're going to pray about. Don't go in there haphazard, because I'm going to tell you something. If you go in there haphazardly, your prayer is not going to be answered. Go in there with the specific purpose for your prayers and pray for it, and then ask God to open you up, like she was talking about, open you up and to intercede for whatever it is that you're praying for. And you'll see mighty results there. And hopefully in the near future, we can go through. Listen, this prayer thing is so deep. There's so much more to it than we actually realized, than I realized actually, till I got to really studying it here in the last little bit. So, yep, be specific in your prayers. Okay, anybody else? Or if you got any other thing to add to that, Angelica?
It's also very effective when you pray in the Spirit. The Lord can drop something on your, in your spirit, and you pray in tongues. Maybe sometimes the Lord will just drop somebody's name, and he won't necessarily tell you what the purpose of the prayer is for, but you just start praying in the Spirit, and the Lord hears that. So I think it's a blessing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, there's another aspect of it, praying in the Spirit, when the Lord puts a burden on you. Okay, Barbara, what you got there to commune with God? We can probably go real deep in both of these, but let's just kind of skim the surface right now and kind of get everybody's opinion here. To commune with God, what does that mean to you? Barbara? Well, I'll tell you what I think it means for me. I know what it means for me. That is, when I first get up to put myself into that prayer closet, so to speak, and to seek God and to praise God and to seek him on a personal level, and to wait until I know that he's listening. Of course, we all know he's listening all the time, but I want to know that God's listening. And so I get in there and I commune with God. I tell him, how much I love him. And I tell him, I thank you, Lord, for saving me. I thank you, Lord, for giving me revelations. All of these things, Lord, I don't deserve, but I am so thankful for your grace and your mercy on my life. And we start out in that way, and we get in there, and we just listen for God for a while, and then we start communing with him. What a commune is? That's a two-way conversation. That's a two-way conversation. You listen to God, and you speak. You speak, he listens. He speaks, you listen. And it's that way. It's not I'm just going to sit there and I got a list a mile and a half long, and I'm going to give it to God and out the door I go. No, it's listening to God. He might have an answer for you right then. Anybody got anything else on communion with God?
It deepens our relationship with him.
Amen. Yes, it is. To deepen our relationship, our personal relationship with him. It deepens our personal relationship with him. That's good, Debbie. Thank you.
I just want to add with that I have a friend who was my best friend for many years, for so long, and she moved away, and we still were really, really good friends. Even when we would see each other, finally, it was like we were never apart. But now it's gotten to where we don't talk. We don't talk over the phone or anything. And so we saw her again, her and her husband. And it was a very strange time, very strained relationship now. And she was even somewhat unkind to me because there's not been that communion that has kept us together, kept us close. And so if we don't pray, commune with God, we can't know him as our friends, that he wants us to be a friend to us, and my example.
Amen. That's a good example right there. What happens when you don't commune. All right, anybody else? Okay, got some more examples here of purpose in prayer. What is the purpose of prayer?
To receive what God's Word says we have.
To receive what God says we already have. Okay. All right. To receive what God says we already have. And what does that entail? That entails believing what the promises say, doesn't it? Just believing and have faith. You can't have prayer without faith, can you? It's a necessity. That's part of prayer. You can't have one and not have the other one. You can't just say a flippant prayer and expect it to be answered. It ain't going to get answered. It has to have faith to go along with it. Also has to have a lot of other things, and we'll get into those things later on. But right now, we just want to see what the purpose of prayer is.
Being in unity with God, to share His life, to grow in His life.
Okay. To be in unity with God and to share the light, share His light. Amen. Okay. Unity with God and share His light. That's kind of communion with God. That's being one with God. And when you're one with God, powerful things happen. When you're one with God, you have a discerning spirit, and you can hear Him. You can hear what He says. He'll lead you, and you'll be guided by Him. So, unity with God is very important. And you do that by prayer, talking to Him, being with Him. Okay. Anyone else got something they'd like to add to that?
Is it also to give Him authority and I guess dominion over, our life, I guess rulership? Because I think in the beginning, in Genesis, it says that God gave man dominion. And I think, is it possibly to also to give Him that rulership back in our lives over maybe certain aspects as we continue to walk with Him?
Sure, absolutely. In other words, surrender your life to Him, right? Surrender every aspect of your life to God. That's one of the purposes of prayer. Yep, Lord, I'll just tell you something. I'm just going to give it all to you, Lord, and you need to help me. Help me surrender every piece of flesh that I've got on me so I can get rid of it, Lord. And I can be led by you. And I can have a wonderful, miraculous prayer life, Lord. That's what I want. I want to be able to bless folks. So, yep. And like Wade was sharing, when you have that commune with God, that unity with God, and you're able to share the light of God to the people around you. Amen. Yep, that's good. Good stuff. Okay, anybody else? Hey, Chad, we're talking about the purpose of prayer, or charity, or whoever that is.
Yeah, that sounds good. She'll be joining us a little later.
Okay.
I know someone was talking about having, a relationship, and I think he also wants us to hear His voice, to recognize His voice from that of another voice. I think that is really important to Him also.
That's very important, to recognize His voice over and above everything else, right?
Right. Above ourself and above desires, above other people, but to know His voice.
Yep.
Speaking of knowing His voice, I could share a little bit on that. Because I've been really, pressing into the Lord and in prayer, and I just have such a desire to commune with Him, not only in my apartment where I live here, but just throughout the day, praying without ceasing and learning to be in that constant communion with the Lord. And the Lord's been testing me and teaching me how to prove the spirits, you know, how to discern the spirits. And it seems like sometimes I'm getting voices from 10 different directions, but I'm just learning that as I yield to the Holy Spirit in that, you know, Charity and I have, we have a couple of notebooks full of prophetic words that the Lord's given us over the years. And as I was reading through them one night, I noticed a theme that really stood out to me, and it was yield, learn to yield to my spirit, you know, learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. So I started thinking on, well, what does yield mean? Like a yield sign, I mean, slow down and proceed with caution. And I've been finding that as I do that, God's been good to teach me more to decipher his voice, because, you know, the voices in the world are increasing and they're getting louder. And then, of course, you know, I find as I circumcise my heart and use the sword of the word to put my flesh to death, that that's a key factor, because, you know, if, when I get to the point when Satan has nothing in me, then those other voices will just be obvious. But until then, I want to be able to discern those voices that are not the Lord, so I'm not led astray. And so that's been really good. And God is good. So I'm thankful for that.
Amen. That is critical in the days ahead, to yield to the Holy Spirit and listen for him and know his voice. That is so good there, because how many of you know that Satan comes in there sometimes and gives you words too? Might be the wrong one if you don't.
And he does it in a, I'm sorry, Michael.
No, you go right ahead.
Well, I just had the thought that, and he does it in a way to make us, you know, he does it in such a way where it can sound just like the Lord if I'm not familiar with it. If I haven't seen it from that angle, he'll come in a way that it's at an angle to where obviously he's going to masquerade as an angel of light. Otherwise, it's a duh, you know, horns and a pitchfork. That's the devil, you know. He doesn't do it that way. It's very deceiving. It comes as an angel of light, so it's learning to discern what that source of light is, if you will. That's a good way to put that.
Amen. That's right. We have to learn what the Lord's voice sounds like, and how you can discern it's the Lord's voice. And how you can discern that is knowing what the Word of God says, because the devil, he's sneaky. Man, he'll sneak a verse in there on you, but he'll go completely contrary to it at times. But you think that, well, maybe he's trying to get around something here. No, God ain't going to do that. He said, my word is true. So you have to understand, you have to discern God's voice. That's good, Chad. Thank you very much. Anybody else on this?
I actually struggle with that a lot. This is Angelica. Maybe you guys can keep me in prayer concerning that. Maybe we can do a teaching on that. But I think it has a lot to do with our unregenerated, soulish, fleshly mind. I mean, at least for me, it gets in the way of me being able to discern the voice of God, you know, just kind of vacillating, like, was it him, was it me, was it the devil, you know, so that, yeah, that's really important.
Amen. Yeah, we'll probably get through that. I figure we're going to stay on prayer for a while, a few times anyway, because it's a deep subject. Very deep. Okay, yeah, discerning of the spirits, yield to the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. Those are all critical for God's believers to be able to do in the days ahead. A lot of people are very lax in their prayer life, and I was guilty too. Listen, I was guilty as anybody. But then I started, what's my purpose on earth here as a Christian? Well, my purpose is to interact with God. That's my purpose. That's your purpose. That's every one of us's purpose, is to interact with God. Well, how do you do that? Through prayer. He has us here. He's not going to do anything without prayer, because we're his instruments. We're the body of Christ right here. And if we're the body of Christ, then we're the ones that direct the angels to what they do, you know, their job. If you're not praying, your angels are sitting around twiddling their thumbs, and you're working for Satan now, actually, if you're not praying and doing what God's asked you to do. Matter of fact, that's, in my estimation, that's our job, is to pray. I know we're to go out there and to witness and stuff, but you better not go out there and witness before you pray. You're not going to have much success at all. But if you pray and fast before you go out there and witness and evangelize, you'll have success. If you do anything in God without prayer, you're not going to be successful. That's how critical it is to pray and believe God. Not only to pray, but to couple faith with it and fervency and all of those other things, that passion that goes along with prayer. So prayer is number one, in my estimation, as a Christian to be doing. I mean, if you're not praying, then you're having problems, I can tell you. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? What is the purpose of prayer?
Michael?
Yes, sir.
What came to me is it helps you know what the heart of the Lord is.
What is that, Kurt? I'm sorry, I missed that.
It helps you to know what the heart of the Lord is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what happens when you have a relationship with God, is learning his heart and learning what he wants for you. That's good, Kurt. Praise God. All right. Anybody else on learning the heart of God? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I think it's the more time you spend with God, the better your relationship, the better to hear his voice.
Absolutely. Praise God. Yes, it is. The more you spend there with him, the quicker you're going to discern his voice when you need it. Because you know as well as I do, when you have a relationship with somebody, when you first married your spouse, you know, you thought you knew them. But then after you were married for a few weeks or a few months, you understood, well, I didn't know this happened. Those things start coming out. And you start having a deeper relationship because of it, because each one of you want, you know, you understand what's going on in the other person's heart. Well, same way with God. You understand God's heart after a while, just like Chad was talking about earlier. You're discerning the level of what he wants you to do when he talks with you. You're able to discern things a lot more readily and quicker because you understand the relationship and in God's heart with your when you commune with him. Amen. That makes sense. I don't know if that sounded any good at all. But anyway, communing with God, learning his heart, gives you more discernment. All right. Anyone else? The purpose of prayer.
I was thinking of to not be anxious and to have peace. And because I was reading Philippians 4.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6, and if I could just read that.
Sure.
In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. And I was also thinking about patience.
Amen.
How when you pray, it does. I've noticed it teaches you patience. And when I've had times when I haven't been like waiting before God, I get impatient with people. I can tell the difference. So that's something that happens.
You know, I found that too, Vanessa. When I've been in the Word and I've been communing with God through the Word or through prayer, I find that I've got a lot more peace in my heart, and I've got a lot more patience, and I can long suffer a whole lot more when I've got the Word of God active in my heart than I do if I miss a couple of days, you know, and then next thing you know, that old self comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? You know what a prayer is? One part of prayer. It's a disinfectant to the air around us, right? It's a preventive disinfectant. Keeps the evil spirits around away from us. It purifies the air. And it destroys, actually it destroys the contamination of evil all around you. And did you know this? That when you pray, your prayer does not die. When you pray a good heartfelt prayer to God, that prayer doesn't die. It's going to be answered, or it has been answered, but it's going to manifest in its time. You might die. That prayer is going to be answered. If you pray for your loved ones, and you go and be with Jesus, guess what? That prayer is still alive, and they come into Jesus because you prayed that fervent prayer. That voice of yours goes into God's ear, and it lives just as long as God's ear is open to your prayers, and as long as his heart is alive to holy things. I'm telling you, that's from now on until it's done. That prayer is sitting there in God's ear. He hears it, and he's acting on it. Y'all believe that?
Yeah. Amen. See, I got a passage I'll share real quick on that I got today.
It was
in Job 35:13, and it goes the other direction, too. So we be aware of this. It says, surely God will not hear an empty cry, neither will the Almighty regard it. So, you know, we can't go in there with just half-hearted ideas and not really be committed, like you're talking to fervent prayer.
Well, amen. There you go. There's confirmation right there that God's word stays alive. Praise God. It does, too.
I think you mentioned something that really probably we all got to work on is the fervency. To get in that, where we're really pressing in, they say, you know, or we're really moving those mountains, where we get that point in our life where we can just stay right there. And then we, even though we may not think we're getting anything accomplished at one time, we know that, like you said, those words are staying in God's ears and his hearing.
Amen. That fervent prayer is, that's a passionate prayer. And prayer that doesn't have that fervency, prayer that is passionless, prayer that lacks fervency, it doesn't have any heart in it. It's empty. It's an unfit vessel is what it is. When you put your heart, your soul, and your life into your praying, then heaven's going to, you know, you got to want to heaven to be made to feel that force of your prayers to God. Remember what the word says. Y'all remember what that word says. I'm trying to look it up too. So, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you should have fervent prayer going up to God. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means we have to have enough fervency to carry us through all of these periods that we go through. It carries us through. Y'all remember Isaiah, when he prayed, he was a fervent prayer. And then you also, Jacob, what'd he do? He fought with God all night long. He wasn't going to let him go. That's the way we ought to be. I ain't letting you go until you bless me. And that's our attitude should be toward prayer. Lord, I ain't letting you go until you bless me with my prayers. I believe, Lord, that you're going to bless us with this prayer answering when you answer our prayers, Lord. And bring it up to him every day. Lord, remember my prayer yesterday. I'm just bringing it up to you. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to see this thing through for me. I praise you, Father, for that. And when you do that, you've already prayed the prayer of faith. Now, all you do is just thank him for it because that's faith. That's faith. And when you bring it up again and again and again, you just say, Lord, I just want to remind you what we prayed the other day. And I thank you, Lord, that you're working on it and I'm going to see it through, Father. I just want to keep it up there in Jesus' name. And when you do that, that's a fervency of prayer. That when you do that, God's going to answer it quicker. Remember the judge and the lady that he said, well, I need to go ahead and judge this one because she's going to be bugging me until I do. So that's the way we ought to be with God. It's not to bug him, but, you know, just bring it before him. Lord, you said a new word here. I believe it. So I'm thanking you for saving my family or whatever it is. You know, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to send somebody that is going to talk to them and they're going to come to you, Father. I just want to remind you of it. Now, we prayed that the other day, Lord, and I just want to remind you of it. And I'm thanking you that you're doing that. You know, and have that kind of an attitude toward prayer that God hears you. And boy, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to see some miracles when you do that. Amen. All right. Thank you, David.
I was going to ask one question. You brought something up. What's that passage? I can't remember. It's, and I've looked it and I can't find it. It's called Is Remembrance Your Sirs or something like that?
It's the one when you storm heaven. What is it? That's the one I was thinking about.
There's one about he cherishes his remembrance or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another one too. That's not the one I was thinking about.
Were you thinking in Luke 18? Because that's what I was. I was going to share Luke 18, that verse where
what is it, Jackie?
Jesus said us to pray. Luke 18:1, where Jesus gave the parable and he commanded us to always pray and not to faint. Is that the one you were talking about the widow and the judge?
Well, that's one of them. Yeah, I talked about. Yeah, it is. That's one of them right there. I was actually thinking about, and y'all forgive me for not writing that down. It's the one where we storm the gates, you know. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. I'll just have to look it up for next time. All right. What about it? Anybody else? What about the purpose of prayer? Purpose of prayer.
Michael, I think the purpose of prayer often is just to remain in fellowship with the Father, to pour out your heart and just to share your heart with Him, to be one with Him. And in doing that, I think it teaches me to cast my burdens onto Him, as I just open up my heart and share everything, and that brings trust, and that increases my faith, and then that helps you enter into the rest.
Amen. Amen. That's the fervency. What do you have to have with prayer? We talked about it earlier. I just kind of mentioned it. What you got to have with prayer in order for prayer to work?
Oh, faith?
What's that?
You mean faith?
Yeah. You've got to have faith. You got to have faith with prayer. And also, to a higher level, you got to have trust. Because trust is a firm belief, or trust is faith in full flower. E.M. Bounds said that. He said, trust is firm belief or faith in full flower. And I find that to be so true. When you can have faith, and that's good. Faith is good. But we're going to trust God that it's going to happen too. Faith is the foundation where everything else is built on, right? Y'all remember that verse. It's an attitude. And giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. 2 Peter chapter 12, I think is what that's in. And that's the starting point. That's the basis of all the other graces. That's the faith is the foundation where everything else is built on. That's the bottom box, right? Everything else comes out of it. Amen. Faith in Christ's ability to do and to do greatly is the faith that prays greatly. And I'm reading out of The Necessity of Prayer by Ian Bounds. He says, the faith that creates powerful praying is the faith that centers itself on a powerful person. Faith in Christ's ability to do and to do greatly is the faith that prays greatly. Thus, the leper laid hold upon the power of Christ. Lord, if thou wilt, he cried, thou can make me clean. And we're showing right there how faith that was centered in Christ's ability to do and had got that man that healing power of God, right? Praise God. And faith and prayer goes together. They're finger in hand.
I was thinking one of the things prayer brings is repentance.
Amen. It does. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Geez, I've never experienced that before. you know, the Bible says that God won't regard any prayer that you have if you have iniquity in your heart. So we know one of the first things that's going to happen, especially a saint, if he's got anything on his heart that's holding him back and he feels the guilt and the Lord's working on him, he's going to be bringing and crying to the Lord about his sin and trying to have that sin keeping him from having a relationship with God. He's going to be looking for a way to get rid of that. And I think we've all been there. I've even recently went through another time of my own. And you don't know how much God does not want any kind of sin in our life. And it doesn't even have to be something that's willful on your part. It could be something that you just walked into by accident, and pretty soon you gave it time in your heart, and then it starts to flourish. And at that point, you're defiled. You're at a point of defilement again. And when that happens, it's not that the God doesn't love you. It's not that he doesn't care. It's not that he's trying to keep you out of the kingdom, but he knows that's something in your life that you need to deal with at that time in order to get that closeness, that relationship, to get that fervency back in your heart that he desires out of you, that relationship he wants to keep going, that fire that he wants to stay alive. And so one of the advantages we have with prayer is we can come to the Lord in prayer whenever we're fallen and we feel like we haven't met the obligations that we know that the Lord wants us to keep in this relationship with him. We can fall on our face and our knees and just cry out to the Lord with that fervency and ask him for forgiveness and show him, even ask him to show us our hearts, to show us where are we, what's going on, why can't I reach you, Lord? You know, it gives you that opportunity to get clean and get right with the Lord. So prayer is not only necessarily accomplishing his will, it's getting your life right. You know, our opportunity to get back into the walking and in the light with the Lord. So, I mean, that's one of the most awesome, I think, aspects we have with prayer also. It gets us back in that clean relationship, that walk and that love that we share. And we sometimes we think, my relationship got cold. What happened? Why isn't this? Where am I at? And we have to take that time and start examining ourselves and get down and get real with the Lord, and then he can start working with us again.
Amen. Repentance goes along with it. Sure does. You know, you need to decide before you start praying what you want from God. And that's what we talked about earlier. And then be real specific about it. And then what you do is you go find the scriptures in the Word of God that gives you that promise of whatever it is you want. So, and that gives you a chance to be very specific in your praying time. Too many Christians don't realize that the importance of the Word of God in prayer is supreme. We know faith begins where the will of God is known. And if you don't read the Word of God, you're not going to know the will of God. And we know that God's Word is His will. So we need to find those scriptures that promise those things that we're asking for. And then you bring it up to the Lord. Lord, Your Word says whatever, you know. Your Word says this. And I'm standing on it, Lord, and I know, you know. And that's what we should do. And sometimes, also, God doesn't answer our prayers immediately. And so when we read and we study the Word of God, we understand patience. We understand waiting on God. And we understand that we don't get anxious for nothing, as Vanessa was talking about. We just wait. We believe. And we thank Him for answering our prayers. That's the best way to pray right there, is just believe and trust God that He's going to answer. It might be the last second that you need Him to answer that prayer, but He'll answer it if you'll keep that faith in there. Amen. Faith is a great part. It's the foundation of answered prayer, is faith. And of course, like I said a while ago, trust. Trusting that God's going to do it. He's going to back up His word, isn't He? He's not a liar. He's going to back it up. Praise God. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I'll just read something I ran into last night when I was reading. It's only a little short paragraph here. It says, the aim of prayer is not to make God change His will, but to enable disciples of Jesus to change their minds and dispositions as they are molded by His Holy Spirit.
Okay, run that by again, Marlon. That's good.
The aim of prayer is not to make God change His will, but to enable disciples of Jesus to change their minds and dispositions as they are molded by the Holy Spirit.
Okay. All right. It's to help us, isn't it? To mature us. Because you know as well as I do, when God answers our prayer, man, that just shoots our faith level way up there, and that changes us. I saw that happen over in, where was that? That was in West Memphis. When we prayed for that kid and his feet came back straight, that whole place was healed. Faith was shot out the roof, man. And we prayed and people's lives were changed forever. Praise God. Yep. It changes your life. It changes people's around you's life as well when you pray and you believe. All right. Anybody else?
Prayer also can have an immediate, the Lord can answer prayer immediately. I have testimony where two members of my family were in ICU and were basically dying and, you know, I know it's because of my righteous prayers and other righteous prayers that the Lord, you know, brought them back, and they had testimonies of hell. And so they were there already, and the demons were trying to tempt them to basically give up their will to live. But the Lord answered prayer. And so prayer can be immediate. And, you know, it's a blessing, but of course it's always the will of God for Him to answer something like that.
Amen. It can be immediate. I've seen that happen many times. Terminal cancer, terminal this, terminal that. People's lives were changed. And also seen it go the other way, too. You know, they'd be healed and they go back and they forget what God did for them. And pretty sad, but that happens. Okay, anyone else? You know, you need to make that prayer a statement of faith, too, you know. I know it's going to happen, praise God. Don't bring any unbelief in there. You can, you know, you can always, just as easy, speak faith than you can doubt and unbelief. So why not just go ahead and speak faith instead of doubt and unbelief? You know what Smith Wigglesworth said about that? He said, if you pray seven times for any one thing, you prayed six times in unbelief. I believe that. If you pray seven times for any one thing, you prayed six times in unbelief. Andrew Murray said, it's not good taste to ask God for the same thing over and over again. Andrew Murray also said that if what you prayed for hasn't materialized, and you do pray again, don't pray for it the same way, because that would be unbelief. He said to remind God that you had already asked for it, and remind him of what his word says, and just put him in remembrance of his promises. Tell him that you're expecting it, and you thank him for it, just like we talked about earlier. But that, just remember this, if you pray seven times for any one thing, you prayed six times in unbelief. So what do we do?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Could you explain to me, because I kind of have thought about this as well, my prayer, the fervent, you know, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, like, but then I think, as you just said, well, if I'm praying so many different times about one thing, you know, then that's a lack of faith on my part. But I just kind of didn't really, maybe I don't understand what fervent, you know, prayer is, because, I mean, I don't want to get into the vain repetitions, as the Lord, you know, said not to pray.
Well, like we talked about earlier, that fervency is to pound heaven with your prayers, okay? Okay, but we pray the prayer of faith. Let's say, say I need a healing, and I pray, Lord, I thank you. I come against this infirmity, and I command it to go from me, and I don't accept it, and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Now, I thank you, Lord, for my healing. Now, from this point on, what I do is I just remind God, and I thank God, and I praise him. Lord, I just thank you for my healing. I believe that I have received, because that's what your word says. And I believe it, Lord, and I thank you that I'm healed. And you keep doing that, and somebody says, well, are you healed? And your body might not feel like it, but you tell him. Because we're praying, we're saying the things that are not as though they were. We tell him, amen, brother, I am healed, delivered, and set free by the power of God. And I thank the good Lord for doing it. And it don't make no difference what people say to you. You're reminding God that you're faithful to him. And you're doing this fervency thing. You're reminding him. You're thanking him for it. And you're bringing it before him every time you do that. That make sense?
Yes, that's a good example. Thank you.
And what happens a lot of times is we lose heart after a few days if we don't get healed or whatever it is that we're praying for, you know. A lot of times somebody will ask you, well, how's your stomach feel? Well, brother, I don't know. I prayed for it the other day, and God just hadn't seen fit to heal me yet. Well, you might as well just start over again, because you've just cursed yourself instead of thanking God for it. Because faith is believing those things that are not as though they were, saying those things that are not as though they were. We believe the word of God over and above what our natural eyes and our natural ears and our natural body tells us. And that God will honor that quicker than anything else is when you do that. And that doctor says, well, you got this. Man, you fixing to die. You got 2 weeks to live. I remember he told one friend of mine, he said, you got 6 weeks to live. You got this. And she said, I'll rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And we the prayer warriors went out and went to pounding heaven with, well, not that you can pound heaven, but we prayed to God, and that's that. And within a week, within 2 weeks, she was out of that hospital, leaving the doctor scratching her head. So that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to confess him before men. And when you do that, that's faith. Listen, I'm telling you, that's faith. It's when we fear man, you know, that doctor says, well, you've got sugar diabetes and you're going to have to take insulin the rest of your life. You say, oh, doctor, I don't want to have to take that. I ain't going to take that, am I? Oh, yeah, you got to take it. Okay, yeah, that's going to cost you $50 a week, ever what that stuff costs. Well, I can't afford that. Well, don't make no never mind. If you want to live, you got to take that insulin. When you ought to be saying, no, doctor, I don't receive that. That's the word of God says that I'm by his stripes I'm healed, and that's what I'm believing. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. You do that. You watch what God will do. He'll honor your faith before men. It'll make them look stupid rather than them thinking you're stupid. I've seen it happen too many times. I know. Praise God. But the thing about it is, folks, you can't, when you pray that first time, then it's time to sit back and rest. Have that sabbatismo rest. Know that God's working in your life or in your prayers. He's doing it. And you don't ever speak against it. You don't ever curse yourself or curse the people that you've been talking, that you've been praying for. Well, you know, you have to have that trust in God to know that he's going to fulfill your prayer. Might take a little time at times and longer than you want. But God's testing you to see what you're going to do. That's what he's doing. And I'll tell you what, you get a hold of this. You get a hold of this faith and prayer and trust business with God. You're going to see miracles like you've never seen before. Angelica, you're going to see Isaiah come to Jesus like you've never seen anybody come to Jesus before if you believe. I'm going to see my family come to Jesus. I used to tell my grandson, the Lord showed me many years ago when he was just a toddler that he was going to be a preacher. And I tell him every time I see him, he's coming up on the back steps many times. And I said, there he comes. He's a preacher before thousands. He said, oh, Papa, I'll quit that. I said, I ain't going to quit it because that's what God told me. And that's what's going to happen, boy. And still saying it. You know, I'm still saying it. And he's 20, 21, but he's coming to Jesus. I'm telling you, he's coming to Jesus. I baptized him here a couple of months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, and he's doing good. Praise God. So that's what God wants. He wants faith. He wants, and don't curse him. If they mess up, don't make no never mind. Doesn't make a bit of anything in the world because you believe what the Word of God says. When you believe what the Word of God says, oh my goodness, God's going to do it. It's going to be awesome. Amen. Well, let me get that. Go ahead.
It's like that coming to God 7 times. The first time should be that prayer of faith, and the other time should be praising him and thanking him for the answer. You know, it's like we keep coming, we keep reminding him, but we believe we've prayed that prayer of faith, we're trusting, and then we're praising him and thanking him for the answer.
Amen. That's just what we're talking about. It's when we come up and we say, Lord, I ain't healed yet. I'm just asking you again to heal me. Well, that prayer there is the one you prayed before is now null and void. You see, that's what I was talking about. But yes, when we pray, and those next 6 ought to be praise and thanking God for that. You're exactly right. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? You know, a lot of times we make a mistake by accepting these adverse circumstances and sickness in our lives. I've done it because I didn't know any better. But since I've got the Word of God in me and I've learned what the Word says, then I don't waste any time. Just like the other day, I had a toothache was coming on me big time. And I said, somebody in here fixing to lay some hands on me and we're going to pray. And that's what happened. and it went away. I didn't have to worry with it anymore. Praise God. And that's what we do. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. John 16:24 said. God wants us to receive those answers to our prayers, and he wants us to be full of joy. How are you going to be full of joy and victory when everything around you looks dark? And we got needs all up in our lives. You know why? Because we're full of joy. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that whatever we ask of the Father according to the Word, he's going to give it to us. So that our joy can be full. That's what John says. That's what you ought to be grabbing these verses. Running with them. Praise God. Amen. Okay, somebody else talk about prayer here now. Purpose of prayer. It's to make things right around us, isn't it? It's also to get rid of and to make us holy too. It's to make us holy. Lord, I thank you that you are perfecting me in the likeness of Jesus. I thank you. It may not look to you or it may not look to people around you that God is making you holy. But he is, if you believe it. Am I going to be in the bride? Well, if you've got faith to be in the bride, you're going to be in the bride. Am I going to be in the man-child ministry? Well, if you've got the faith to believe it. You know, I don't know when the cutoff date is. I don't know. But you need to start having faith to believe it. That's what faith is, believing those things that are not as though they were, saying them. Praise God. I get excited, man, when I talk about praying and faith. I get full of joy, too. Don't worry about anything. Ain't no need in worrying. What you worrying about? There ain't nothing you can do about it anyway. Most of the time, you know, that's like... I'm over here in Tennessee, and most of you know that my children and my children's children are back in Arkansas. And I'll get a phone call, this is happening or that's happening. Well, let's pray. Well, don't you need to come here? Don't you need? No, I don't need to do anything. I can't help you. God's the one that can help you a whole lot better than I can. A lot of times we enable our family when we get involved in those circumstances a lot of times. And it's better that God gets involved in them. When God gets involved in them, they see the miracles and they see the change. Even more so than what you can do. You can't talk your way through some of these family members' minds at all. Or even a husband or a wife that's not saved or that's going astray. But I can tell you, God can. God can do those things if we pray and believe. But you have to believe without doubt, without any kind of double-mindedness or unbelief. When you do that, you're going to see a miracle. I don't care who you are or what your circumstances are. You're going to come out of that. You're going to come out of that just like God would, because God's going to bring you out of it. How many times have we tried to put ourselves and tried to do it ourselves and tried to work these miracles by ourselves, and it just goes around the mountain and comes back to you. Goes around the mountain, comes right back to you. Well, that's because God's done something. He wants you to trust him for it. And that's why, you know, when somebody calls me about a problem back in Arkansas, I say, well, let's just pray about it. God can fix it. And after a while, you stop getting all them calls. And they start believing for themselves. Isn't that, well, if you just call Daddy, if you call Papa, all he's going to do is want to pray. Well, praise God that he is. Because, boy, they'd really be in trouble if he wasn't. Ain't that true? Amen. Okay. Somebody else talk a while. Tell me about faith in your life and prayer. Because they both go together.
Hello?
Yeah. Hey, Andrew.
Hi. Well, I took it as a question, and I asked the Lord to give me a verse for this. But before I did that, I had to think about it, and I went, well, how's this going to work? Because my finger's going to come down on a verse somewhere, and, you know, how is it going to actually happen that, you know, because I took out my concordance and looked up prayer, and I go, is it going to fall on one of these verses, my finger, you know? And my finger came down on Acts 21 and 21, right on the word custom. And it's about this time where Paul just came back to Jerusalem, okay? And he's going to get in trouble, you know, because he was seen all through the world, and he was thought to have come against all the customs of the Jews and stuff. And so they gave him some advice there on what he should do. And well, the advice turned out that in the end that they threw him out of the building, and they started beating him in the street. And then he gets captured, and he's going through all this stuff where he's captured by the Jews, and, you know, he's rescued by the Roman soldier and put in the castle. And I was going, well, you know, this is really the beginning of where Paul is taken captive and taken to Rome. Of course, he said he knew he was going to see Rome because he got that word from the Lord, that revelation word that he was going to have to go to Rome. And, you know, it says, like, in the beginning of the book of Philippians that it talks about him being in prison, and how even some of the Praetorian Guard, that the Praetorian Guard used to guard Caesar, like it was the royal guard, even got converted, you know. And so I think what answer I got from the Lord is that throughout your daily life, when you're going to work or whatever you're doing, you have to hold the Lord up in prayer for things. Now, it's not just a closet. It's got to be a movable closet, I think, where you got to take the Lord with you in prayer out there. It has happened to me a few times that when I'm just like on the bus or where I don't pray aloud in tongues, but I just comes over me to pray in tongues, and I just do it like mumbling under my lips. And this happens sometimes throughout the day, not every day, but when I go to work and stuff. So I think my answer was given me here, that it's something that we do during our whole lifetime, where we're whatever we're doing, you know. I'm sure even when you go for a walk, you're thanking the Lord for the nice day that you had, and you look at His creation and you thank Him for that, and the little things and the big things. But I find this very informative, and to show me that I may have even been repeating my prayers to the Lord. So I'm going to have to change that just to go with the life you're supposed to have, this faith, this full trust in prayer. And, you know, this plan that the Almighty God came up with is His plan. And, you know, I sort of remember, because I do listen to the Sovereign God things quite a bit, that we pray and ask for God for something, and He blesses it us with it. And what we do is we use what He blessed us with and give it back to Him, and to make other requests and blessings for not only us, but for other people. And, you know, if it's His plan, you know, we can't really shun the plan. You know, it's like, it doesn't even seem logical why you would want to not believe this, because it's God's plan for you, you know. And if it's a part of reconciliation you need there, an exchange, you know, well, this is why it all came about with Jesus at the cross and the resurrection. And, you know, I'm just thinking about this now, you know, it's just like, why would you want to come against this, you know? This is the almighty God's plan, you know, and this is his word that he creates, and he creates this, so it's got to happen, like it says in John 1, and he creates this life in you, and this life has to include this prayer. You know, sometimes when we examine things so much, you know, I'm sure you guys all remember you used to pray as children, little boys and girls, and you know, if it's with a more mature saint, the thing gets to happen, you know, and that's kind of where you know, it goes, well, wow, this thing happened now because someone prayed. Some of us didn't have that as children, but we got it later on. You know, we got it when we were full grown even, that we, you know, it would have been nice that if everyone had the full gospel Christian discipleship family, and you would have probably came to the Lord in early years and have experienced it a much better. But it's a little different with today's society, because we're getting these older people who should have been, this should have happened to them a long time ago if everything functioned naturally and orderly as it's supposed to. But you know, that's how I see how it happened in the first century. Of course, you know, if it would have happened in a family where the next generation would come in, they had a baby, the baby grew up, and, you know, it would have fell all in course a little bit quicker, I think, rather than having it come later in life. But you know, that's the, you know, I always wonder, you know, when it's Almighty that you're talking to, if you can imagine an almighty God, what kind of answer does he want out of you? Does he want a disagreement? You know, would you even think of even doing that? You know, like you remember when the Jewish people wanted Moses to go and talk to God. You know, they had a fervent fear, a reverent fear of God there. And they wanted Moses to go do it, but you know, it's God here. He wants to hear the affirmative, the okay, you know, yeah, agree with him all the time. And well, that's just an insight I'm getting anyway. Praise God.
Amen. That's good, Andrew. Thank you very much. Yep, it's a life that we need to lead. That's a life that God has ordained us to walk in. It's a prayer, life of prayer. Okay, anybody else? What about it, Malcolm?
I'm in a different room. I barely heard you.
Okay.
Michael, this is Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a testimony of way. I remember my first answered prayer that let me believe into God answers prayer. And I was just a little girl, and my mom was very faithful to always get us down on our knees at the couch every night to pray. And one of the things we prayed for every night, now we prayed it over and over, I understand that, but we did pray and that a couple of their, a friend, married couple, would get saved, friends of my mom and dad. And we kept praying that all the time. And it turned out they went to a Billy Graham crusade, and they got saved. And they started coming to church with my parents, and they became very good
close, godly friends and godly people. And I've always remembered that. But that hit me then, way back then, was God answered that prayer. I knew he did. And that just that one thing has instilled prayer in me, and that God does answer prayer. And it's just a, it's something I'll never forget. I always remember that.
Amen. Yep. When we're children, you know, even though I was raised up in the church, but it was a nominal church at best. It was a potluck church, I guess what you call them. But I did remember a lot of the verses that they had us to memorize, you know, as a child, you know, Psalms 23 and those like that. And Jesus, you know, we sang the song, Jesus Loves Me. And through the years, I've looked back on my life, and through the years, I can see where God used me in places where I was in bad trouble. And I would, you know, I'd pray even as a pagan. Didn't know anything else to do. And God would bring me through those type of situations. And, yep. That when we're children, we remember those things as we grow up, because they pound it in you, don't they, Debbie?
Yes, yes.
Amen. Brother Lawrence said this. He said that we ought to give ourselves to God with regard to things both temporal and spiritual, and seek our satisfaction only in the fulfilling his will, whether he lead us by suffering or by consolation, for all would be equal to a soul truly resigned. Prayer is nothing else but a sense of God's presence. Oh man, he nailed it. Philip Henry said, be sure you look to your secret duty. Keep that up whatever you do. The soul cannot prosper in the neglect of it. Apostasy generally begins at the closet door. That's right. Be much in secret fellowship with God. It is secret trading that enriches the Christian. Pray alone, and let prayer be the key of the morning and the bolt at night. In other words, pray both at morning and night. He says the best way to fight against sin is to fight it on our knees. And that's true.
Michael?
Yeah, Kurt.
I was just remembering back when I was maybe 9 or 10 or something, and my mom took us to church. She wasn't a Christian at the time. And when they had altar call, I stood up and was going to go up there. You know, I had to go past her to get up there to the altar, but she tried to stop me, but I broke away from her and went up there anyway. And I'm down at the altar crying and praying, and within a few minutes, I remembered the dress that she was wearing. She knelt down beside me. I could see, you know, up under my arm, that was her. Anyway, she got saved at that time and remained a Christian and continued going to church. And of course, when I grew up, I fell away and into all kinds of trouble, but she never stopped praying for me. About 10 years before she passed away, she ended up moving in with me, and those were the most blessed years, because I had become a Christian, or came back to the Lord by that time. Yeah, memories are really good to have like that.
Amen. Anybody else?
Michael, sorry, it was my rechargeable batteries on the phone don't last very long, so I ended up when I run out, I stick the phone back in the charger and just listen on the speakerphone from a distance.
Okay.
So I think we can miss out on a lot if we don't take advantage of the Lord's presence, take advantage of the of praying. I know, you know, sometimes when it seems like, you know, everybody around me is just hammering on me and doesn't understand, and And, you know, you're tempted to have a pity party. And you can't really tell anybody in that some of those situations really anything about the situation. Otherwise, you're, you could either be gossiping or, you know, or whatever. But I think a lot of us have learned that years ago, there are situations that weren't even appropriate to talk to people about, but you could talk to the Lord, and since he was there, he knew about all the details, knew everything possible about the situation. And like it says in 2 Corinthians, right, the very first little part of the chapter there, the God of all comfort, who comforts us. There's some really neat promises in Isaiah. Oh, let's see, tons of chapters in there that has just chock full of some of the best promises this side of Texas. So, very encouraging stuff.
Amen.
I think, you know, one thing, I think a lot of us have kind of hearkened to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul talks about, come out ye from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And, you know, and a lot of us have been through, you know, in some kind of system, and we obeyed the Lord and came out. And I'm sure, you know, everybody's been through this. It's just that when you come out and you're isolating yourself, in my case, it's a pretty intense isolation, and making it so no matter what you say, it's not worth the hill of beans, because you're out of that system. You've already stated that you're not part of that club. So when you talk to people in that club, it's like, well, okay. So, but the thing is, and I've been studying that passage quite a bit, and of course Paul is taking a lot of stuff from all over Tarnation in the Old Testament. In that whole sequence in chapter 6. And if you go back and look at the places where he took those, you know, paraphrased from different places in the old, you know, Samuel and Psalms and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all over the place. If you look at the context, it's just very compelling. So I was asked, you know, I was just, you know, I've been thinking, well, Lord, if you, you know, if you're not just going to call us out and then just leave us to hang, so you said you'd be our Father and that we would be your sons and daughters, and that's pretty heavy, you know, that he would call us out and then he would be a father unto us and we'd be his sons and daughters. It's an incredible promise, but you do have to hold on to it. You know, you can't just come out, you have to continue to walk in the Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Well, Andrew, I got a word also for tonight. And I was thinking basically the same thing you were. And that was, well, Lord, I wonder how this is going to work out. And it did. I got Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, 1-6. And I'm going to start in 10. I'm going to start in 10 and read to 13. My finger was on 11, I believe. He that is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And he that is unrighteous in very little is unrighteous also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit your trust to the true riches? Who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, that's pretty plain right there. So we have to be faithful. The thing that I got out of it is being faithful in our talking to God, in our communion with God, and he's going to reward us for it with answered prayer. We can't be having a foot in the world and a foot in the kingdom. That doesn't work that way. God's kingdom doesn't work that way. You either have a foot in the, you either have both feet in the kingdom, or you have both feet in the world. There's not a one in one. It's both or none. It's the way it works. And so we're either committed to be Christians and we pray and we believe what we pray and we go ahead and we trust God to answer those prayers. And I believe that with all my heart because I've seen it happen time and time and time again where God answers prayers. It might not be the same second that you pray. A lot of times it is. A lot of times it's not. But we go on, we have faith and we have trust that God's going to fulfill that prayer for. Now you have to pray in the will of God. You understand that. That's without saying that you have to pray in the will of God. You can't pray for an oil well or some nonsense like that because that's not scriptural. Your needs will be met, he says. So you pray for those things that your needs will be met, you know. You can't pray like I heard Kenneth Hagin one time talking about this guy. He was having some meetings at this place in Texas, down in Texas somewhere, in a church. And he was in the pastor's office before the or after the services. And this guy came in, and Kenneth got up to walk because he thought it was going to be a personal thing, you know, with him and the pastor, the guy that came in and the pastor. And the guy told him, he said, no, I said, I need you both to believe with me. And, you know, I saw, oh, now this guy's married, okay, still married, he got a wife. He said, I want y'all to believe with me to have that woman out there, and she was married. Now, God ain't going to honor that because he's not going to get you in a position of adultery. He's not going to put you in a position of coveting another man's wife. He's not going to go against that. You see, that's what it is not to be. To pray not in God. Now, I know that's an extreme prayer, but the guy was ignorant, didn't have any sense, was coveting, he had a lustful eye. But we have to pray according to God's will. And that having said that, once we pray in God's will, then we sit back and we thank God for it from that point on. And we believe, don't we? We just believe. It might take, you know, it might take a little bit of time. It might take a lot of time. Don't make any difference. We still believe. And that's where we get it sometimes. I know I've done it too. You know, I'm not, I want God to do something right away, you know, and I'll pray. And I won't get an answer, and I'll pray again. I'll have somebody else pray with me, or I'll, you know, but from some time back, I started saying, okay, I'm just going to pray and I'm going to believe from this point on. I ain't going to pray this unbelief. I'm going to pray it. I'm going to stick with it. And I'm going to believe it. And I know it's going to happen. It's already happened in the spirit realm. And I'm just waiting on it to happen in the natural. And I'm going to thank God every day for it. And I'm going to put it up before him every day too. Thank you, Lord, for saving my grandsons. Thank you, Lord, for saving my granddaughter. Thank you, Lord, for saving my daughters. You know, we keep on bringing it before him. That's what it is. That's the purpose of prayer, is to bring light to the world. Is to save the world. That's what it's for. Just to put it in a nutshell. Who was it? Somebody early on said, let's see. Yep, bring down the perfect will of God. And that's true. That was Angelica. Bring down the perfect will of God. Well, that's true. We want to bring down the perfect will of God in our life and the people's around us lives. And you do that by prayer. Well, all right. Before we leave tonight or close out, does anybody have any prayer requests before we get out of here. Okay, next week, I want to keep with prayer, and I want you to think about the possibilities of prayer. The possibilities of prayer. We're going to talk about the possibilities of prayer and what that entails. Okay? Well, all right. Well, Father, I just thank you so much that we can come to you, Lord, in faith and in trust. And we can, you've placed it in as you've given us that little measure of faith that all we need to bring down the whole kingdom of Satan. And we thank around us, we thank you, Father, that you've given us power and that you trust us with that power, Father. And I praise you, Father, for making each one of us, or perfecting each one of us in our prayer life. And as we perfect in our prayer life, we're perfecting in our holy walk as well. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for all the participation tonight, of all the good answers and the deep answers we got tonight, Father. That was just awesome to me. And I pray, Lord, that the people that listen out there on the outreach that's not with us tonight, that they will get a lot out of this tonight, because people have come up with some good stuff. Your brothers and your sisters, Lord, have come up with some great stuff about the purpose of prayer. And I thank you for doing that for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, be with us. Help us to grow and to mature in you, Lord, and draw us closer to you, Father. Open up your word to us, Lord, and let those revelations come forth out of your word. Teach us how to meditate on that word, Lord, and to garner those deep revelations that you have for us. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for all of these wonderful people that have been with us tonight. I thank you that you're knitting our hearts together, Lord, and you're maturing us. You're bringing us into that one accord. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Give us a good night's sleep tonight, Lord. Give us visions and dreams as well. And we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Well, all right, saints, good night, and God bless.